Hey, this is Adam Richman from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur Podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
Welcome to a brand new Hotspurs podcast. It is Monday, the 13th of August, 2018, and I'm Steve. Just me today, just going to talk about the Newcastle game and the latest news all about Tottenham. Basically, I think that it was a good start, obviously 2-1 up at Newcastle. Before the game, it was kind of the two teams that were in the, most pundits were sort of saying we're in dire straits. You know, Newcastle hadn't really bought anyone of any real, stature. I think they pointed out that they were actually, sold more players. You know, their net spend, if you like, was, they'd actually accumulated more money. So how on earth, were Newcastle possibly, going to do anything this season apart from really struggle? And it would be a good time for Spurs to play them, apart from the fact, of course, that Tottenham hadn't bought anyone either. My thoughts on that are that I said, when Pochettino made the comments about being brave and what have you, what was he talking about that? Or was he talking about, signing players? Was he talking about playing more youngsters? We don't really know, do we? But the thing is, overhanging the whole situation about signings, of course, was, well, it's two things, really. The squad, as it stood, was a good squad, good players, and every player that we discussed are potentially coming to Tottenham, you think, well, whereabouts does he fit in? And most, if you take someone like Martial, does he take one of those three places? Eriksen, Son, and Ali. And, I think that's a bit mixed, to be honest with you, because I love those three players. And, is Martial, the reason that he's not playing week in, week out for Man United, is it because he is, someone that only plays one in three games? We've had plenty of those at Tottenham before. And I was talking to a couple of Man United fans over the summer, and I sort of said, if you could lose either Rashford or Martial to a man, they all said Martial. As an outsider, you look at it and go, really? Rashford, good player, but looking at the two of them, surely Martial is the more world-class player. But no, they all said that Rashford is superb, giving his all. And Martial is a bit part player. So, we could all sort of say we should have played 70 million, 60 million or whatever. But you're looking at it going, is it worth it for someone who's just going to sit on the bench? I don't know. The other players that we were going for, Grealish, it's an interesting one because people were saying that we should have got him before the new owners came in. But, I don't know if you know how business works, but if you're selling your club, then you're going to want to keep your best assets to get the best price. So you're not going to go, right, well, we're selling the club to these new owners. Oh, and just before we do that, we'll sell our best player to Tottenham. Well, no, that's not going to happen. So, what's happening there is that, presumably Levy's inquired and the owners have said, well, no, we can't do any business at the moment because we're selling the club. Then new owners come in and they go, right, well, we're not selling Jack Grealish, playing a little bit of, mind games possibly or whatever. But then they go, well, no, we don't need to sell him. So 25 million's not enough. When Sky Sports finally report the bid that's gone in, a lot of people are saying, well, why didn't we bid earlier? And I've listened to a few podcasts and they don't outline the fact that, well, it's because they're selling the club. They're not looking to sell players while they're selling the club. It's just the way business works, unfortunately for us. So in the end, it didn't work out. I'm a little bit sad about that because I've followed Grealish, from the beginning, really, a few years ago, because I think he's got a very Chris Waddle style about him, and I like him. I think he's a little bit different, and I think he would have been good for us. But, we'll see what happens, and we might get him in January. You know, are we holding back? As Poch and Levy had a conversation and said, look, you know, do you want to hold on and then we'll have a bigger budget in January and next summer? Or do you want to go for it and go and get someone else? But, you know, you won't have as much money, you know, down the line. Maybe Poch has looked at it and gone, you know what? Let's hold back. You know, I think I've got the players. I think I've got, you know, a nucleus of my starting 11. Plus, if you're looking at the, you know, the 11, plus you're looking at Dembele, who's on the bench. You know, Danny Rose, who I still think can play a part. And, of course, you know, in my opinion, the best centre-back in the league is Toby Alderweireld. And the fact is he's not playing. He didn't play on Saturday. The reason why, I don't think it's got anything to do with the fact that he wants to leave or this, that and the other. I think it's due to the fact that Vertonghen is playing outstanding, and so is Sanchez. So, you know, you're not just looking at it and going, oh, the guy's got an attitude problem, that's why he's not being selected. Well, no, the two players that are in his position are actually playing brilliantly. And I think it would be incredibly harsh to bring out Sanchez and say, well, we're going to play Toby Alderweireld. Even though I think Alderweireld is a slightly better player, I don't think that's the way that Poch manages his football teams. You know, he says that those two guys have been superb in the end of the season. And by the way, that's why Toby Alderweireld didn't get in the side at the end of last year, in my opinion. You know, Poch wants to win football matches. People have chips on their shoulder. They want more money. They want this, that and the other. But at the end of the day, Poch is sitting there going, right, who do I want to select? And, you know, it's not like, oh, what a crazy decision. How can you possibly pick Sanchez above Alderweireld? Not at all. So, Sanchez has been fantastic for us. So there's no reason why Sanchez should be dropped for Alderweireld. You know, I think that there is a reason, you know, well, there's certainly a time to bring all three of them in. You know, Man United away in a couple of weeks. I have no problem whatsoever with all three of them playing. Even if you want to play three at the back, you know, with the intentions of pushing on Davis or maybe Moura on the left and Trippier back in at right back and push Bonamon and having the three at the back at Wembley for Fulham. But, you know, got to look at things from different sides and different reasons, you know, why these guys aren't getting a game. So I'm delighted that we've kept Toby Alderweireld because, you know, it's not just a case of, you know, if he doesn't play, say, in the next six games, that he's not in Pochettino's plans. The fact is that at some point between now and Christmas, you know, what? How many games is that? 25? 30 games, all the cup games? At some point, Sanchez is going to twist an ankle or Alderweireld's going to get, you know, a dead leg or something's going to happen. And oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Who could we possibly bring in? Oh, I know. Let's bring in Toby Alderweireld. I mean, it's great. Why wouldn't you want that? You know, lots of people saying, you know, let's sell Toby Alderweireld. You know, to we can sell him now to someone abroad, and you know, get a lot of money for him or what have you. But why would we do that? I mean, because like I say, it's not just a case that yes, our first two is Vertonghen and Sanchez. So Toby is surplus to requirements because, as I say, at some point, one of those guys is going to get injured. And in fact, I hazard a guess that they'll both get injured at some point. And then it'll have to be Toby Alderweireld with Foyth or with Cameron Carter-Vickers. But I'll tell you what, we do not want to sell Toby Alderweireld to Juventus or whatever, you know, before September. And then Sanchez or Vertonghen twist their ankle against, you know, Arsenal or whatever. And then we got to go, you know, six games over Christmas with Cameron Carter-Vickers. You know, as good as I think he potentially might be, I think I'd much rather bring in Toby Alderweireld. So, you know, let's keep him. Definitely keep him. And the same might be said of Rose as well, you know. Why would he go to Schalke? What are they, in the Europa League or something? Keep him, you know. And again, the reason that he's not in the team, it might be because he talks too much or whatever, but, you know, loads of players talk, so, you know, that's just something we've got to get over. But Ben Davis has been superb That's the reason why Rose isn't getting into the first team. It's not because, you know, we're looking at it and going, oh, you know, if Rose only stepped up his game a little bit, he'd overtake Davis. I don't think he would, because I don't think Davis has been anything short of fantastic. I was comparing him over the summer, again, talking to Man United fans, to like a Dennis Irwin, you know, someone that just stays out of trouble. You know, we call him Gentle Ben. He just gets on with his game. He's reliable. You know, he won't kick up a fuss about anything. And, you know, similar to Trippier on the other side. I think they're two players that just come into training, work their socks off, and it's so easy for Poch to go, right, you two fellas, you're in the team. You know, whereas you've got, you know, Rose, who might come in, this is wrong, that's wrong, whatever. You know, that's why he's not being picked, in my opinion. But still a great player, you know. If Davis does get an injury, what better player to come in than Danny Rose and say, there you go, there's your chance. Now, all this moaning you've been doing, go and prove it and, you know, keep Ben Davis out the side. Why not? On the other side, you know, Aurier, lots have been said about his performance at Newcastle. It was a typical Aurier performance, erratic, diving in. But you got to say that he played the ball of the match, if not the weekend. It was a fantastic cross. It was first time. It was we'd just got the goal given against us, and it was the perfect timing to knock them off their stride. So, you know, get us back in the game. Brilliant cross by him. And, you know, some people saying, you know, is the final nail in the coffee, in the coffin? You know, sorry, that is absolute rubbish. The guy's been there for, you know, less than a year. And quite frankly, yeah, I think with in modern football you've got to have a run of games. I mean, Aurier hasn't, has he? I think he's comes in, goes out, comes in, goes out. You know, playing for 10 games in a row before you decide whether he's you know good enough or not. You know, personally, I think that again he's a perfect backup guy to come in, but you know needs to calm it down a little bit and not throw himself in so much, because otherwise you can certainly see more giving penalties away or whatever. But again, that's something I think Poch can coach, can't you? You know, that those sort of things. Whatever you do, don't dive in the penalty box. You know, and if you do, bye bye. You know, it's as simple as that. That's that. Into midfield, Dyer. I thought he was terrific on Saturday. No one said anything about him, you know, and that's what Dyer's great strength is, that he just gets on with his game, he gets stuck in, he protects the back four, and I'd have had him ahead of Henderson every day of the week in the World Cup, because all this, you know, Henderson was brilliant, Henderson did this, Henderson did nothing in the World Cup, and the number of times I was sitting in a pub with Liverpool fans, and they're all going, oh, what brilliant, Henderson's brilliant, I say, just was he done? And he kept turning back and he kept passing sideways and backwards. And then again, in the Belgium game, in that third or fourth place playoff, you watch the way that Dyer gets the ball and pings the ball brilliantly forward. And the link-up play with Dyer, with Dele Alli is fantastic. So I was really impressed with Dyer, fantastic. Of course, I would have had Dembele next to him. Now, we played Sissoko, he played all right. It was probably one of his better games. Again, still didn't do very much for me. I wish he'd have got that goal, though, because I think that would have given him loads of confidence. And, you know, it's not a case that we boo Sissoko, then he plays poorly. You know, what happens is Sissoko has a poor game, and we go on Twitter and we go, that guy's not good enough for Tottenham. You know, some people go over the top with it, but that's all I'll say. I don't think he's good enough for Tottenham. Is he good enough for a backup? Probably not. When everybody's fit, he wouldn't even get on my bench. You know, Winks is the guy that, you know, is that one that we want in there, you know, as a backup for Dembele, who, by the way, people have written off. Very good friends of mine have said he's gone, he's lost it. I don't think so at all. You know, he's a brilliant player. When he came on, he was fantastic. And what a guy to bring on a football pitch when you're 2-1 up, 20 minutes to go. You know, who can we bring on who's going to hold up the ball, who's going to kill the game, who's going to frustrate the opposition? Dembele, the perfect person. Saying that, I'd play him from the start. So, you know, unfortunately, we don't think he can last the 90 minutes. But I think he played a few games last year, not a full 90 minutes. But, you know, what a player to keep. And again, please don't sell Dembele, because he's just such a such a brilliant player to watch, and he's not past it. Sorry, I still think he's got this season at least, and I think he might surprise a few people. So watch this space, and all those people that are saying he's finished, or you know it's time to move on, time to get someone else in. You know, I hope you're made to eat your words, because I don't think he's finished, and I still think he's got a massive part to play for Tottenham, particularly this season, and hopefully next as well, because I think he's only 32, and a lot of players are playing up until 35, 36. I think Carrick finally retired when he was 36. So look, you know, I still think he's definitely got this season in him to be in our first team. Christian Eriksen normally actually starts a season not very well. You know, if you remember back the last few seasons, you're like, you know, what's going on? Particularly, you know, I think Flav on the Fighting Cock was saying that in our team, our worst player was Eriksen. That was a couple of years ago. And he was right, because he really stunk the place out in the first few games. And this season as well. Last season as well. Didn't start very well. But then he comes into his own. Well, I was so pleased to see him play so well on Saturday, because I thought he was terrific. Really commanding to get the ball and, you know, playing some really nice little passes. Now, Dele Alli, a lot of people have forgotten about him. Last year, remember, he had the massive hump. He scored against Burnley, I think. He didn't really celebrate. And we were all going, oh, the guy wants to go, wants more money, wants whatever. Basically, you know, what we say about Toby Alderweireld. But we, you know, we were praying that he stayed. And of course he did. And then after a few games, I think when the transfer window shut, it was like, right, well, and he bucked up his ideas and put a smile back on his face. I think people have forgotten about that from last year. So, you know, it's great to see him in the side. He played so well. You know, he didn't have a great World Cup, but, you know, he scored a header, which we all went mad at, of course. And, you know, people point out his performance not very good, but I didn't think any of those three were very good. I didn't think Sterling was great, and Lingard scored a great goal against Panama, but not a lot else. So, you know, we focus on Dele Alli because he plays for Spurs. I've had to bat it all away all over the summer from Man United fans and Liverpool fans and whoever else. But you know, it's great to see him back in the side and scoring with the header. And then you've got Moura, who I didn't think had a great game. I thought he started well. And you know, he looked dangerous, but then he just wasn't in the game, unfortunately. So in the end, he had to come off. But again, he's somebody that, you know, you can see potential. He's got to work harder. He's got to demand the ball. And he's got to run at people. You know, I think that's his great strength, and that's what you know, we've always said about Lennon for years and years. You know, when he runs at people, he's at his best. If he tucks back and starts passing it back, there's no point in being in the team. So, you know, my advice to Lucas Moura is do a Ginola, watch Ginola tapes, because that's all Ginola did. All Ginola did was pick up the ball, run at the defender, and then so what, you might get tackled, but I'll tell you what, defenders don't like it. And if Lucas Moura can do that, you know, nine times out of ten he'll get tackled, but the one time he gets back round the back, and then you got Kane in the box. And just on Kane, you know, he played similar to his last few games in the World Cup, didn't he? Run his socks off, great on the ball, really looks composed, lays it off brilliant. But I just think with Kane, and he does this sometimes, he drops too deep. I think that he goes a few games without scoring, and then he thinks to himself, right, I need a goal here, and he gets himself right in the box. So I'm hoping that he does that at Fulham and doesn't drop back so much. And I'm sorry, but if that gap, you know, in that number 10 position isn't being filled by one of the other guys in midfield, then Kane's just got to go, sorry, that's not my job. I'm up front. I'm here to score goals. And I think Kane will score goals. People saying it's the monkey on the... get the monkey off his back for August. I couldn't care less when he scores his goals, as long as he gets another 30 this season in the league. And, you know, but I think Kane's knowledgeable enough to know that he's gone a few games now without scoring, and he's got to think to himself, right, I need a goal. So I'm going to get myself right up top and get those little knockdowns and tuck it away. So that's that. Just a couple more things to talk about. Obviously, you know, with these signings, going back to that, the biggest thing is the stadium. It is an excuse. It is the reason. It's no need to say, well, we've mentioned the new stadium several times now, so let's not talk about that anymore. Now let's talk about why we haven't got new stadiums, new signings. No, sorry. It's still the reason. It's got to be the reason. A couple of years ago, Levy said it wouldn't affect signings. And I had a bit of back and forth on Twitter with a few people saying, sorry, but Levy is lying. Levy is saying that it won't affect signings, but I'm sorry, but it will. When you move into a new house, you don't say, right, well, we need to move into a new house, so here's the mortgage, this is the payments. You know, everybody stretches themselves. You don't then immediately go, oh, and then we're going to go on holiday and get a new car. Sorry, you don't do that. You've got to budget. And although you budget for certain things, you're still coming out of the same bank account, isn't it? So for the Tottenham Stadium, it's still the Tottenham budget. So, you know, and plus with the weather and different things going on, and the fact that the time frame, it beats me why we haven't delayed the start of playing. Maybe FA regulations or whatever, you can't play a certain number of games at a different stadium or whatever. But if I was Levy and you had the option, I'd say, look, let's just, you know, that's probably too late now, but just say, look, Liverpool in the next couple of games, sorry, but we you know, January, whatever, the first game in January, that's when we're going to the new stadium. Because again, I don't want to walk into the stadium with wires hanging out the wall and, you know, it's not being quite ready. I want it to be absolutely up and ready to go. But, you know, that's just me. I've not got a problem with Wembley. It's cool to say I don't like Wembley because, you know, guys on the Fighting Cock say they don't like Wembley. So, of course, we've all got to go, oh, yeah, no, I don't like Wembley. Aren't I so cool? But look, it's dead easy. You get there. Okay, it's a massive stadium. So, obviously, you lose that intimacy a little bit. But, you know... It's still watching your beloved Tottenham. You know, people say, I'm not going to go to Wembley. Well, go shopping with your missus. Do whatever you want to do. It's not on telly. But I'm going to go to Wembley because I love watching Tottenham. And that's what I like to do on a Saturday afternoon. This new stadium is looking terrific. I can't wait to go there, although I can wait because I want it to be finished. That's the reason I think that we haven't made the signings. And just because it's been said over and over and over again doesn't mean that you now need to look for different reasons why we haven't made the signings. But I think that is. I think that's the major reason. I think Levy said to Poch, look, you know, are you happy with the squad? And Poch has said, you know, whatever he said. And they've said, look, this is the situation. You know, we don't know, but that's just my guess. People say, well, no, because Levy wants a new yacht. Well, how much is a yacht? I have no idea. 3 million? Well, that's nothing, is it? So he can go and get a new yacht, plus he can go and get Martial if Poch wants him. So, you know, that's just the cynical side of things. Levy, particularly Ricky on The Last Word of Spurs says, why doesn't he come out and tell us? Why doesn't he say everything? Well, that's the same argument. You know, again, I've said it before, if he tells us, he's got to tell everybody. And you can't come out and say, listen, Spurs fans, we haven't got the money for this, we haven't got the money for that, or we have got the money for this, or we have got the money for that. You can't do that, because if you tell the Spurs fans, then you've got to tell everybody. And if Levy comes out in May and says, sorry, Spurs fans, we won't be making any signings, then who's going to buy the season tickets? And it's cynical on Levy's part, because he's saying, you know, he's not saying anything, is he? And he's told us before that it won't affect the budget. So we're all buying up these season tickets. And this is a bit controversial, what I'm saying right now. But the fact is that he wants the best for Tottenham. He wants the best for, you know, if you want, you know, I've said it before, to get the most money for himself, he needs a successful Tottenham. Therefore, we need to sell lots of season tickets. Therefore, we need a nice stadium. And when the trophies come, which ultimately I hope they will, you know, he'll get more money. So if you think that Levy is a greedy sod, then the only way that Levy's going to make as much money as possible is if we have a successful Tottenham. You know, it's not about finishing 10th, 11th, whatever. It's about getting into the Champions League. But by the way, you know, people that say winning the League Cup is more important than finishing top three, it's top four, it's absolute rubbish. Okay, finishing in the top four is as good as a trophy in terms of what it means for the club, in terms of keeping hold of players and going forward and the future. Now, it's not as good as a day out. I absolutely respect that. But in the last 25 years, you know, my favourite moments ever have been in the League Cup finals. Yeah, fantastic. Absolutely brilliant memories. However, if we win the League Cup and we don't get into Champions League next season, when we're talking right now, we say, oh, what a great day that was. Ah, but we're in Europa this year, or we're not in Europa, which might not be a bad thing actually, but we, you know, we'd be sitting there going, oh great, Chelsea have overtaken us in the league, what do we do now? So look, you know, there's lots of talking points there, but at the end of the day, I think Levy looks at it and goes, right, do I say something, do I not? Actually, the best thing is don't say anything, and it's not to get on the Tottenham fans' nerves, I promise you that. I think it's so that people don't know what's happening, because if you tell everybody what's happening, then you know you simply you can't run a business how you want to run it, and you can't get the best, you know, out of Spurs, for our football club. You know, I'm rambling now, I know, but hopefully you can see the point I'm trying to make. And you know, if you want to discuss it on Twitter, that's no problem. Just a couple of things on that. If you swear or anything, I cannot respond, because being a teacher, it's just something that I can't do. You know, it's just you know, it's my job on the line if I respond to you know, swearing and stuff like that. So keep it decent. And I normally, you know, 9 times out of 10, I turn around and agree with you anyway. So you know, prove me wrong, not a problem whatsoever. All right. So you know, going into the Fulham game. I want us to play Dembele. I want him to come back in the side. I'd be happy to see Toby back in the side. You know, but it might be interesting just to maybe switch him over, just to say, look, Sanchez, I'm going to rest you for this one. Bring Toby back in, see how we get on. Make him feel wanted a little bit more. You know, maybe that's the key to it. You know, we'll see how we get on. Trippier, Ferraria, no problem. You know, obviously that would be better. You know, push on and hopefully get the 3 points, because then we've got Man United away, which, you know, is tricky. The one thing that I was thinking actually on the, you know, I had lots of discussions about Man United, you know, the FA Cup semi-final. I thought what we did at Newcastle was what Man United did to us, and just shut the game out. I know Newcastle had a couple of good chances, but, you know, it's a great tackle actually by Vertonghen when Rondon hit the crossbar. And the other thing was, you know, the way that we did the delaying tactics and took our time. And even the commentator said, you know, Spurs here are, you know, they're playing out time. They're frustrating Newcastle. And Newcastle really didn't have any chance in the last 5 minutes. You know, when normally we're under the cosh and we're going, oh my goodness, you know, defend, you know. But we didn't. We kind of used the dark arts a little bit, which I'm all for. I am all for Tottenham using the dark arts. You know, we've not done it before, and that's something that we need to do. And everybody's saying that, you know, Juventus game, this game, that game, where we go 1-0 up, 2-1 up, whatever. Start using the dark arts. Every other brilliant team, or every other team that wins a trophy, uses the dark arts. So I've got no problem whatsoever with us delaying tactics, little bit of cramp for certain players, all those sort of things to break up you know, the other team's momentum. Not a problem. All right, that's enough of me ranting. Cheers. Come on, you Spurs.